Good morning. Great to see all of you on this rainy Sunday morning. Everybody gets extra points for being here on a rainy Sunday. So I'll put in the paperwork for an extra ruby for your crown for being here on a rainy Sunday day. We're glad that you are here. If you're worshiping with us online, we're glad that you're there as well. Please catch the little pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us. On each row, you should find our attendance pad. If you would fill that out, you can drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. And we would love just to know that you are here to worship. If you're a guest, we are blessed that you are here. If you're a first-time guest, we want to make sure that you get a gift. We have a little something to give you. And so if you'd stop by our guest central out there, we would love to put that in your hands. Got a few announcements I'd like to lift up. Winter break is coming here pretty quick for Humble ISD. And one of the things that we did last year at winter break that we really enjoyed was we had an open gym day, part of a morning. And so we're going to do that again this year. It's going to be on February 9th from 9 to 11. So you can bring your kids up. We'll have some inflatables, let them burn off some energy, bring some of your neighbors to come and be a part of that as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have some drinks and snacks. So that's February 9th, open gym day from 9 to 11. So, Weekday Learning Center registration for church members and for those that are already attending the Weekday Learning Center starts on February 13th. And then registration, open registration happens on February 20th. So we are having on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday the convening conference of the Eastern Texas Conference of the Global Methodist Church. And I know we all would covet your prayers. It's going to be a fun and exciting time, lots of great worship. We're going to ordain 92 new people, some deacons, some elders. The very last one to be ordained will be our very own Leanne Williams. She'll be ordained an elder. And she's last just because her name is Williams. But I also think the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So, but anyway, I serve on the finance committee of that. I'll be making a presentation. So on Saturday morning when you wake up, pray for your pastor. He's going to need it. So, but it's really an exciting time to be at the formation, the very forming of the Global Methodist Church. And we're just really excited to see what God's going to do with us. So we're starting a new sermon series next week. It's just 3 weeks. And we're going to be looking at the will of God. And it's based upon the book by Leslie Weatherhead. It's an older book about the will of God. And so we'll be talking about that as we just struggle to understand the will of God in our lives. And then it's Ash Wednesday and it's Lent. So, I mean, Easter is right around the corner, y'all. It's happening fast. So what a great day it is to be with you. We are so glad that you're here in worship. Invite you to stand and greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ.
Let us pray. Almighty God, bless this gathering of your people that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us. We have spent these last weeks together examining our commitment to you, to one another, to your church, and to our community. And so we pray for all of those that are all around us because we know that so many are struggling. So we ask, God, that you would equip us to be your hands and feet so that we could make our corner of the world just a little bit better. I pray that we would reflect your love and grace for all of those that need to know you. So for all the people and the families that are right around the corner or just down the street or a neighborhood over or anywhere in this area, we pray that they would feel drawn to you through us and ask that you would prepare the hearts of those families and sustain our spirits so that we may continually make efforts to welcome and to serve our neighbors. We pray for the needs of our people and our congregation today. We've all come here today with very individual and personal needs, all in different places. And maybe nobody on earth knows the struggles or the brokenness that we are facing, but God, we know that you know. And you invite us to bring everything to you in prayer. So we reach out to you, God, knowing that you are already reaching out back to us. We ask that you would meet the needs that we have this morning, and we pray for the different kinds of physical needs, financial needs, those with emotional needs, those who need healing in their relationships, those who are sick with illness or disease, and those who are grieving. Whatever those are, Lord, we bring them to you, and we know that you can do something about them. God, it has been a week. We pray for those just south of us in Deer Park and Pasadena who experienced the worst of the storms from this previous week. Be with them, comfort them, and work through those communities for restoration and healing. It's also been a week where so many have been impacted by the violence of this world. And as your people, God, we lift them up to you because we are so saddened by the violence and the conflict that we witness on the streets of our country. The enemy, God, is sowing hatred and discord and distrust and anger. And that work has been brought to the forefront of our hearts and our minds as we become overwhelmed with despair. It's easy to think that there is nothing we can do about it, but we know that we have the certain hope that we serve a God that is greater than the enemy. And so this morning, God, we put our hope in you because we know that the only hope for all mankind is the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In all things today and each day, we put our trust in you and we pray with the confidence, the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as able as we affirm our faith together as generations of Christians have before us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As we turn to our time of tithes and offering this morning, I would invite all of you who are with us online to see that it's easy to give either by text or online. And for those of us here in the sanctuary, there's boxes in the back as well as the passing of the plate. I'd like to bring again your attention to dynamic dollars. This is the last Sunday of January, which means it's the last opportunity to support The Door, which is a shelter for women and children who are victims of domestic violence. Every dollar of those dynamic dollars goes straight out into the community, and we are so proud to partner with all of the different missions throughout this area that we can help support through those funds. So The Door finishes today, and then next week we will have a new mission for you as we continue to live into our promise to this community to support them. Let us pray. Dear God, we are so grateful for all the gifts that you have given us, for we know that everything comes from your hand. And now we step forward in faith to return to you a portion of that which is already yours. We ask that you would bless, equip, and send these gifts to go out and do work in this community so that people may know of your love and your mercy and your grace. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we're concluding our new commitment series, a series in which we've talked about renewing our commitment, a deeper commitment to Christ, to one another, and to the church with a big C and with a little c. And today we're going to talk about a commitment to our community. As a church, as a body of Christ, and each of us as followers of Jesus, There is a place for us to be at work in the community. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the places where we are. That is a calling that each of us have, and we as a church must be a part of. And as a church, Atascocita Methodist does a lot of really wonderful things in our community. I mean, our single largest ministry is our weekday learning center. This is a ministry that pays for itself and actually is giving money back into our church budget. We have over 400 children that come here to learn. One of the finest early childhood development places in our area is right here at the Weekday Learning Center. Yes. Not only do we do that, but we teach them about Jesus every single day. I will sometimes come in here just to watch chapel and watch Miss Beth give them some Jesus, and it's wonderful, and I love it. And it has always been my dream to pastor a church that had this kind of a child school. And I give thanks every day that I get to come to a church that has that kind of outreach in the community. But not only are we teaching them about Jesus every day, they get to experience the love of God and the love of followers of Jesus from the amazing teachers that we have. And I just cannot tell you how excited I am to be a part of it. We had a really unique thing happen last year. The Weekday Learning Center received a very significant grant, just south of $600,000. And the Weekday Learning Center has done a lot of physical improvements. The new playground is a part of that. One of the things that this grant asked us to do was to give a break on tuition to the people who attend the Weekday Learning Center. And so Beth and I talked about how we might do that, and we decided that Christmas, December, was a great month to be able to give somebody a break in their tuition. And so we decided that that was going to be the month that the tuition break would be given. And so Beth had each little child fix a little decorated box. And for the first time since COVID, we had our big Thanksgiving feast. And each child had at their place a little box for their parent. And I was like a kid at Christmas, because I was going around from table to table and I said, "Have you opened your box? Have you opened your box? Have you opened your box yet?" And they opened up their box and they received a notice that they were receiving a 50% break in their tuition. And I was so excited to watch these folks open that. One woman burst into tears because she had an older child that was literally in the emergency room as we spoke, and that break in tuition would help with those costs. Others were just excited because they could do more for Christmas for their kids. And it was so exciting for me to see that and to be a part of that. And I know that the parents of the Weekday Learning Center were grateful for that break in their tuition at that time of year. I'm not sure that we can do that every year for Christmas, but this grant really gave us that opportunity to do that. We have many other ministries here that are involved in our community. We've got Saturday's Child, where we go every Saturday to families' homes and we bring them food for these folks that are food insecure. It's a great ministry. But this is a ministry that needs some additional help. It's sort of that whole 80-20 rule. We've got 20% of the folks doing about 80% of the work. So if you would like to be a part of Saturday's Child, reach out to me, reach out to Leanne, reach out to Susie. We can get you plugged in. It's like one Saturday every 4 or 5 weeks. It's not a huge commitment, but it is a really meaningful ministry that we are a part of. We mentor children, elementary age children, with our Kids Hope ministry and Family Promise. We help those that are in transition, going from a state of homelessness to helping them get back on their feet. And we support ham. In case you don't know, that's not a pork product. That is Humble Area Assistance Ministries. Last year, We had 105 volunteers that gave 1,812 hours of volunteer time at hand. I'm proud of you, and I say thank you to all of you for all of that selfless work that you have done with Humble Area Assistance Ministries. Now, you remember I talk about these food fairs. They're used at the Lutheran Church. They happen like once a quarter. And I see you all out there. I've been out there with you all distributing food. Last year, those food fairs fed 25,793 people. They distributed over 200 tons of food to people in our area. And that's because of you. It's because of your hard work and other people that are about that kind of work. And it's an exciting thing for me to be a part of a church that gives back to the community like that. But I think Jesus is calling us to do more. I think Jesus is calling us to give more. So let's take a look at what Scripture says about serving your community. So we're going to have two texts today. One is from the Gospel of Luke, and the second will be from the Gospel of Matthew. In this particular text in Luke, Jesus has sent out the 70 into the communities around where he's about to go out into. He's given them very specific instructions, and they have now returned to Jesus, and they are fired up. So our text starts with chapter 10, verse 17 through 30. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus goes on to say, as they show up and say, "Jesus, even the demons obey us in your name." He tells them, "I have given you authority over snakes and scorpions," which is just representative of just evil in general, "and over the powers of the enemy. Nothing can hurt you." And then I love this line. "I saw Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." I have to tell you, I really dug and dug and dug as to what the scholars and the experts might think as to what that means. And I'm here to tell you, there's no consensus. There's not just a clear meaning to that. So some see it as a reference to what Jesus' work is about, that Jesus' work is partially done, that the kingdom of God has come and Satan has fallen. There is a reference in Revelation 12 in which it talks about Satan falling from heaven with all of his angels following with him. As followers of Jesus, as people who claim the name of Jesus, I believe some of what Jesus is telling us is that the power of the enemy cannot harm us. It cannot reduce our salvation. I think that there is some spiritual warfare that happens. It's a biblical concept, and some people are gifted to see it, and some are not. I'm in the not category. But I have to say, I think that there is some special mark on us that as a follower of Jesus that doesn't allow Satan to do certain things to us. And I can assure you that Satan cannot take away your salvation. Now, folks, I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that you can't get hurt, because you can. We can all be physically hurt. All the disciples, the earliest disciples, the followers of Jesus, the apostles, most of them were killed. I mean, you saw what happened to Paul. We talked a few weeks ago about all that had happened to him, all the times he has been stoned. But because we are followers of Jesus, Satan cannot take away our salvation. But I will also tell you this, it does not mean that you are immune from the temptations of the enemy. He is going to be out there trying to trick you, grab you, make you choose things that you know are wrong. We will make some bad choices. But in the end, the enemy cannot steal your salvation. I believe that we have some power over the enemy because we claim it in the name of Jesus. That is a strong and mighty name, one that the enemy cannot conquer. And Jesus goes on to tell his 70 that have returned, basically, don't get the big head because you can run demons out in my name, but rather give thanks that your name is written in the book of heaven. Jesus is saying, don't get all proud because you can do this awesome stuff in my name, but give thanks that you have been saved. I think that's a great reminder for us. We look at all these wonderful things we do in our community, and just let me remind you, it's never enough. We can never do enough in our community to tell people about Jesus, to show people the love of Christ. So our second text comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "Well, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. So this text happens right after Jesus has found out that John the Baptist is dead. And so Jesus goes off in a boat to be by himself. I would guess maybe to mourn, maybe to pray, to think about the loss of his cousin, of this man who had gone before him and had done so much for him and for his kingdom. And he gets to the other side of the lake, and the folks have walked around the lake, and they are there when he gets there. You know what this first lesson, I think, for us is? It's not about you. Not about your plans. It's not about your wants. Jesus gets across. He's got a plan. He wants to grieve. He wants to pray. And he sees these people, and he has compassion on them. That's a lesson for us. We need to have compassion on those people in our community, those around us, even those that are maybe don't smell good or maybe don't look like us, even those that might give us a little scare. We are to have compassion on them. It's not about what your plans are. It's about what God puts in front of you. We see Jesus having compassion on these folks. And that is our calling as well, to have compassion on the people in our community. So the text tells us that the disciples kind of sidle up to Jesus and go, "Hey, it's getting late. You might want to send them out. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere so that they can go find some food for dinner." And I love this. Jesus looks at them and says, "You feed them. You feed them." And they're like, "We don't have anything. We just got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The lesson for us is that we as disciples can't deal out of a mental standpoint of scarcity. Jesus showed them an attitude of gratitude for what they had. Be grateful for what you have. Trust in God, and it will make do. It's a great lesson for us. You feed them, but I don't know how. I don't have enough. I will tell you, I have seen this happen twice in my life. The first time, I was leading a mission trip to Honduras. We were in Tegucigalpa, and we were at this tiny little village called Magote. It was on the top of a mountain. The roads were completely unpaved, and the mountain itself looked sort of like the mountain in The Grinch That Stole Christmas. It's kind of crooked. And we were up there to build homes. You would call it a shed, but it had a concrete floor, and it was a blessing to these people, and it kept the rain off. But it was basically a glorified shed that had a little electricity in it. So we were up there, and one day I was standing there talking with the missionary that we were working with, and this old guy comes by pushing his ice cream cart down these rocky, unpaved roads. He kind of had some sort of styrofoam insulation around it to keep the ice cream from melting, and it was hot. And so I asked the missionary, I said, "Stop him and ask him how much would it cost for his entire load of ice cream." And so she went and talked to him, and she came back and she said, "It's 35,000 lempira, about $25. So I gave him 35,000 lempira, told him, "Stop right here." And we told all the children of this colonia Magote, "Come and get some ice cream." And they all lined up. And these are folks who really don't necessarily even know where their next meal is coming from. And so they all got to stand in line and get ice cream. And it was fun. And every child that wanted ice cream in the village came and got ice cream. And then we said, "Okay, adults, if you want some ice cream, come and get in line and get some ice cream." And I swear to you, when the last person in line walked up to get his ice cream, the container was empty. It was amazing. The second time I saw this happen, I was in Lufkin, Texas. It was the year of the hurricanes, 2005. We had been a Red Cross shelter for Katrina, and we had some expertise from having done that for Katrina. And then Rita happened. And you all probably don't remember this, but for Lufkin, it was like the perfect storm of evacuations. The mayor of Houston said, "Everybody run, flee," about 3 days before the hurricane came, remember? And then the hurricane turned east and headed again for the Beaumont, Port Arthur area. And they all had to flee, and they couldn't go east because Katrina had just wiped out New Orleans, so they all had to come north and west. Everybody ran out of gas in Lufkin, Texas. Our population tripled in 48 hours. Our shelter, our church, was limited to having about 350 evacuees, and we had to feed every one of them, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the day that the storm was coming, people were still coming. Some of them had been on the road for 24 hours. And they came into our church, and we all knew the storm was coming. We didn't care what the Red Cross said. Come in, come in, come in. We had people stuffed in every corner of that church, except for our sanctuary, which had a ton of stained glass windows, and we thought that was just a bad place to be. We ended up having, the day the storm came in, 750 evacuees in our church. And the storm came late morning. We lost power. We had people huddled in every room of our building. And it got to be kind of late lunch hour, like 1:30, and the storm was still raging all around us. No power. We had gas stove, but really didn't have anything to fix. And so we rounded up in the kitchen, the church kitchen, and we found cold cuts, saltine crackers, some cheese, and bottled water. And we gathered it all up, and we looked at it. We were like, yeah, this ain't going to get it done. And so we went ahead, and we started distributing this stuff. People were so grateful. We'd come, and we'd say, I'm sorry, this is all we have right now. And they were just delighted to have a little lunch. They were also nice and gracious as we gave them cold cuts, cheese, and crackers, and a bottle of water. And we had 750 folks there. That little bit of cheese and crackers and cold cuts we had fed every single one of them. I won't tell you they all walked out full, and I won't tell you there were 12 baskets of leftovers, but everybody got some lunch. And it was amazing to see what happens when you trust in the name of Jesus. The disciples have this mentality of scarcity, and Jesus shows them, be grateful. The other lesson for us in this particular text is that sometimes you are the miracle. Sometimes you are the blessing. Sometimes you are the one that Jesus is working through. I love the disciples say, hey, send them away so they can eat. Jesus says, no, you feed them. It's a reminder to us that sometimes you are the miracle. You are the blessing. Because you are a follower of the Most High God. You are a follower in the name of Jesus. So you may have an idea for a ministry. You may have an idea for a way that you can reach out in love and concern to our community. I want to hear it. Come talk to me about it. We're doing a lot. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us to do more. And Jesus is calling each one of you to be the miracle, to be the blessing. Somebody else. We read in Holy Scripture the miracles that Jesus did. But I want you to walk out of this place thinking about all of the amazing things that have happened in Jesus' name. In the strong name of Jesus, we can do anything. Nothing can stop us. In the name of Jesus, we are capable of doing anything. As a follower of Jesus, you have the power of His name at your disposal. In His name, all things are possible. My question for you today is, how are you going to go forth in the name of Jesus and be the blessing? Be the miracle. Be the hands and feet of Jesus in this community. He's telling you, you feed them. You care for them. You love them. And do it all in my name. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we fall short. Help us to have the courage to go out into our community, to be the miracle, to be the blessing. For it is in your name that we go out, and we know that in your name all things are possible. Oh God, give us courage. Give us energy to be your hands and feet in this place. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen. Amen. So this is Kathy Green, and she comes to join our church by transfer from First Conroe, right?
Yes.
And this is Ralph Golson, and he is coming to join our church by profession of faith. And so, Ralph, I have some questions for you, and then we'll have one for both of you. Do you believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord?
Yes, I do.
Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Old and New Testaments?
Yes.
Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as a faithful member of Christ's holy church?
Yes.
Will you be loyal to Christ through Atascocita Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness as Christ's representative in this world?
Yes, I will.
And Kathy, I have that question for you. Will you be loyal to Christ through Atascocita Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness as Christ's representative in this world? We are so glad to welcome you as our newest brothers and sisters in Christ. Please welcome them. What's that? So, these are the new vows that come from the Global Methodist Church that we are to use for profession of faith, which honestly is why I had to read them. So, normally I know them. So, we are so glad to welcome you. I'm going to ask you all to come and join me so that they can welcome you on their way out. And to you I say, go forth from this place to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Go forth in His name to do all the good you can for our community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.